ഇപ്പോ റസൂലുള്ളാഹി സ്വല്ലല്ലാഹു അലൈഹി വസല്ലം സെന്റി സഹാബി ബനീ മുഹമ്മദ് ബിൻ അസ്ലമ റളിയല്ലാഹു അൻഹു ടു ഇൻഫോം ദി ജൂസ് ഓഫ് ദി ബനു നദീർ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ഷുഡ് ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി പ്രിപ്പയർ ടു ലീവ് മദീന മുനവ്വറ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി ബ്രേക്കിംഗ് ദി അഗ്രീമെന്റ്
who had previously pleaded to him not to go ahead with that plot of his. Here again he pleads to him and he says that you are fully aware that he is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Us the option to leave, we rather leave now. But Huwayy bin Akhtab did not listen and he sends a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you may do as you please, we are not leaving our homes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites takbir and Sahaba radiallahu anhu recite takbir with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Harabat Yahud, that the Yahud have waged war against us. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appoints Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, the blind Sahabi. He appoints him as his deputy in Madinah Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu march to the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara where the Banu Nadir were living. He reached there at the time of Asr. The Banu Nadir were standing on the walls of their fortresses. And they began to fire arrows and throw stones against the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam camped there for some time. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu reciting takbir. After Isha Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a few Sahaba radiallahu anhu returned back to Madinah Munawwara while the rest of the army had camped there surrounding and besieging the Banu Nadir. Before Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned. Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu had called out the adhan and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Fajr Salah. And then a tent was erected for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a Jew by the name of Azwak who had a talent of shooting his arrows very far, where others' arrows could not reach, his arrows could reach. And he began firing arrows, and his arrows reached close to the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moved even further away to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Banu Nadir on their side, they locked themselves up in their fortresses and they tried to protect themselves to a certain extent, waiting for the help of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the promised help, waiting for that help to come, but that help never came. That help never came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ, that Allah bears witness that they are liars. لَإِنْ أُخْرِجُوا لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مَعَهُمْ وَلَإِنْ قُوتِلُوا لَا يَنْصُرُونَهُمْ وَلَإِنْ نَصَرُوهُمْ لَيُوَلُّنَّ الْأَدْبَارِ, they would never assist them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they would have never assisted them. And Allah says, لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَهْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that they are extremely terrified and awestruck by the Muslims, so they would never assist the Jews as they had claimed. So the Jews, after remaining in this way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had besieged them for 15 days. During this period, one night, Sahaba radiallahu anhum come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say that we cannot find Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu cannot be located anywhere. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he is gone for some important work. And returns with the head of that same person, that marksman of the Jews, Azwak, who was firing arrows on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu brings his head to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now instructs the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to cut the date orchards, the date palms of the Jews, and to burn them. And in this way, to create within them a rage and to spite them. This obviously was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Jews had raised objection against this. That how can you do something like this? How can you destroy a plantation in this way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Qur'an Majeed. مَا قَطَعْتُم مِّن لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُوهَا قَائِمَةً عَلَىٰ أُصُولِهَا يُخْزِيَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. This was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was as per the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Advantage in doing this. It was not a useless exercise that we just destroying plantation. Rather, it was to disgrace the disbelievers, to cause rage within their hearts when they seeing all their hard-earned efforts and all their years of effort is being destroyed in this way. It will create fear. Subhanahu wa ta'ala had permitted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And when this was done, then it created that hate within them, that rage within them, it enraged them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instilled within their hearts fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an Majeed that مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَن يَخْرُجُوا وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that on your side, O believers, you never thought that a day would come when these Jews would be forced to leave Madinah Munawwara. And they also felt and they believed that they fortified fortresses would protect them. وَظَنُّوا صُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, but Allah says, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبُ, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them from where they could not even imagine. Some mufassirin explain that the punishment came from within them. What was meant by the punishment came from within them? الرُّعْب, Allah instilled fear within their hearts, fear for the Muslims. So they thought that they were protected. They thought that we have all the means to protect ourselves, not realizing that the punishment of Allah can come from within them also. Allah created such fear and terror in their hearts for the Muslims that they finally now were prepared to accept the terms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they plead to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to spare their lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now gives them permission to leave. And the condition is that whatever of your belongings you can load on your camels, you can take all of that with you besides weaponry. No weaponry can be taken, but besides that, whatever belongings you can load on your camels, you may load it and you may leave Madinah Munawwara. So they loaded their camels, whatever they could load on their camels, to this extent that they even began breaking their homes to take out the expensive pieces of wood and panels of the doors, surrounding the doors. They began to break their homes to remove these panels and load it on their camels. And in this way, with a lot of pomp and glory, taking along with them all their gold and silver, their women had adorned themselves with jewelry, with silk. And then they began to parade Madinah Munawwara with drums and musical instruments. This was all a cover-up, just to show off with the wealth that they had. 600 camels they loaded, and they left Madinah Munawwara in this way. But in order to take those belongings of theirs, and those pieces of wood that they wanted to take, they were breaking their own homes. Allah says, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. They were breaking their own homes with their own hands. وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And at the same time, the believers also were destroying their homes. Some mufassirin and commentators explain that even if they didn't need to take anything out of that home, they were just destroying the home to render it unusable, so that the Muslims would not be able to use their homes. And in this way, the Jews of the Banu Nadir had left Madinah Munawwara. When they left Madinah Munawwara, loaded with these 600 camels of theirs, then most of them moved over to Khaybar. Many of their leaders, like Huyay bin Akhtab, Salam bin Abi al-Huqayq, Qinana bin Rabi, and other leaders moved over to Khaybar. When they came to Khaybar, because of the influence of these people, the people of Khaybar had given them leadership, and they accepted to live under their command and to make them their leaders. And some of them did not go to Khaybar, rather they went over to Sham, to the greater Syria area. It was these Jews, these leaders who moved over to Khaybar, who thereafter went and instigated the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, and they had formed a coalition against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in what was known as Ghazwatul Ahzab or Ghazwatul Khandaq. With regards to the lands and the property of the Banu Nadir, this was actually a very great financial assistance for the Muslims. Up till this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu were going through financial difficulty. But when this wealth of the Banu Nadir now came over to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this wealth is actually called faith. It's a technical term. The Quran Sharif, Allah speaks about it as well. It is not malul ghanima, it is not booty of war. Rather, it is faith. The difference between this wealth and normal booty is that booty is acquired after fighting. Here there was no fighting that had taken place. So with a lot of ease, this wealth had come over to the Muslims. The rule with regards to this, it is the sole discretion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do whatever he wants to do with such wealth. It's the property of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever he decides to do, whatever he feels best and befitting, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can decide with regards to such wealth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept back some of this wealth. And it was from this wealth that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend on his azwaj mutahharat, and the expenses of his wives, or the expenditure of his wives, would be given from this wealth. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, and he explains to them, he says that if you wish, I will distribute the wealth of the Banu Nadir between both of you, between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. However, the Muhajirin will come dependent on you. Up till this point, the Ansar were taking care of the Muhajirin. So if I distribute it equally, then they will still continue to be dependent upon you. The other option is that I give all of this wealth, I distribute it among the Muhajirin, and I make them self-sufficient. I make them financially independent, so they will no more be a burden upon you, and you will no more need to take care of the expenses, etc. The two leaders of the Ansar, Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu and Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, they say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a third option. The third option is, you distribute all this wealth among the Muhajirin, and we will still continue to support the Muhajirin. This was the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with, that you spend everything among them and we will still continue to support them. On this, the other Ansar replied, رَضِينَا وَسَلَّمْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We are pleased with this decision, and we are happy with this decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously must have been very, very happy and delighted with this answer of the Ansar. He makes dua for them, and he says, "Allahumma arhamil Ansar wa abna al Ansar. Oh Allah, have mercy on the Ansar and have mercy on the children of the Ansar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Majeed as well in Surah Al-Hashr regarding the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara and how they had given up their own preferences in order to help the Muhajireen. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّءُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They had love for those that had migrated to them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Although they may go through some financial constraint, they would give preference to others over themselves. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had distributed this wealth primarily among the Muhajireen. There were only two Ansari Sahaba radiallahu anhum who, because of their poverty, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given them some wealth also from this wealth of the Banu Nadir. And this was that incident, the incident of the Banu Nadir, which became the background and the reason for Ghazwatul Ahzab and Ghazwatul Khandaq. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.